The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. Today, we are really digging into something we all do, probably multiple times a week, but let's be honest, often not very well. Gathering. We're looking at Priya Parker's fantastic book, The Art of Gathering.
It's such a vital topic.
Yeah.
Because Parker's core idea, and it's pretty radical, is that most of our gatherings,
mm-hmm.
you know, work meetings, company offsites, even dinner parties or baby showers,
right.
are often quite mediocre.
Yeah, mediocre is a good word for it.
And the reason isn't like the bad snacks or the boring venue. It's something deeper.
That's the key insight, isn't it? Mm. So our mission today is to unpack why they're often mediocre and figure out how we can get past what Parker calls these autopilot gatherings.
Right. We tend to obsess over the logistics, the what and the how.
Yeah.
You know, the food, the schedule, the place.
Mm.
And we completely forget the most fundamental thing, the why.
Mm-hmm.
The actual purpose of getting together in the first place.
So if listeners take away just one thing today, it should be nailing down that why for their next event.
Absolutely. You've pretty much won if you do that. Parker insists that if we don't define a purpose that is specific, unique, and this is crucial, disputable, then the gathering is almost automatically set up to be generic and probably ineffective.
Wait, hold on. Disputable? Why disputable? That sounds a bit confrontational.
Well, think about it. If your stated purpose is something everyone immediately agrees with, like, let's have a good meeting, it's probably just a category label, not a real driving intention.
Okay.
It needs to be disputable because it forces you, the host, to actually take a stand, to make a choice. It gives the event a sharp focus, an edge. It means someone could reasonably disagree with your goal, and that very focused energy is what makes it memorable, meaningful, maybe even transformative.
I see. So it's about making a deliberate choice for something, which might mean choosing against something else.
Exactly.
So this isn't just about better party planning tips. We're talking about a pretty profound shift in mindset, really. Transforming these routine, maybe even dull events into something significant just by being more intentional and courageous and creative, too, I suppose.
It totally starts with the host's mindset.
Yeah.
And to really get that shift, we should probably talk a bit about Priya Parker herself. She's not really an event planner in the traditional sense.
Right. She's more of a master facilitator, a strategic advisor. She founded Thrive Labs.
Yeah. And her background in understanding how people interact is, well, it's intense. She's spent over 15 years deep in group dynamics, conflict resolution.
And this isn't just academic stuff, right? She's been in the trenches facilitating really sensitive, complex conversations. We're talking senior leaders, World Economic Forum delegates, even peace negotiators and, you know, active conflict zones.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is her background is quite unique, very interdisciplinary. She studied political and social thought, then public policy at Harvard Kennedy. And she has an MBA from MIT Sloan.
Wow. Okay. So that's a mix of human psychology, organizational strategy, social dynamics.
Precisely. It gives her this really potent perspective on how humans connect or fail to connect, especially under pressure.
And that blend of strategy and, like, social ritual seems key. Plus, wasn't her own background quite multicultural?
Yes. Her mother is Indian and her father is white American. She talks about how that gave her a deep firsthand understanding of how different cultures use gatherings for celebration, for community building, for managing difficult conversations.
So she sees gathering not just as a nice social thing, but as a fundamental leadership skill, especially now when things feel so fragmented.
That's it, exactly. She's not just trying to fix a bad meeting. She wants to reshape how we interact to get specific, meaningful things done together.
Okay, that combination of high-level thinking and deep human understanding makes sense. So let's unpack the central thesis then. How does she translate all that expertise into a practical approach for the rest of us?
Well, it all comes back to that specific, unique, and disputable purpose we mentioned. Once you nail that down, really nail it down, it becomes the driving force behind every other decision you make as a host.
And this completely flips the script on the host's role, doesn't it? Parker really pushes back against being that passive, you know, chill host,
mm.
the one who just hopes things work out.
Mm-hmm. She argues for being a proactive, what she calls a generously authoritative facilitator.
Generously authoritative. Okay, unpack that a bit.
It means the host needs to take charge. Not in an egocentric way, like controlling the conversation, but to create a kind of temporary social contract. For the time you're gathered, you're essentially building a little temporary alternative world.
A temporary alternative world. I like that.
Yeah, with its own clear rules, its own norms, all designed specifically to help achieve that core purpose you set out.
And this isn't just for big shot CEOs, right? She means this applies to every leaders, sure, but also friends organizing a get together, families planning a reunion.
Absolutely everyone. Because she argues this ability to gather people well, intentionally, is one of the most vital skills we need today in any context.
Okay. And the book itself, it lays it out pretty clearly, like a roadmap.
Yes, it's structured very logically, kind of chronologically through the gathering process. It starts with defining the purpose, then moves to curating the guest list, who to invite, who not to invite, choosing the right kind of space, designing how you open the gathering, how you handle potential conflict or controversy, and importantly, how you close it. It's a really complete framework.
Right. Let's drill down into some of those key parts then, starting with chapter one, that disputable purpose. You mentioned we often mistake the category for the purpose, like it's a birthday party. That's the category, not the why.
Exactly. That's the trap. Parker says we have to dig deeper. What's the underlying need or desire we're trying to meet? What's the real emotional or strategic outcome we want?
Can you give an example, like the baby shower one?
Yeah, that's a great one. So instead of just let's have a baby shower, the category a specific disputable purpose might be to support and reassure an anxious first-time mother by surrounding her with experienced parents who can share their hard-won wisdom and, importantly, their humor about it all.
Oh, okay. And suddenly that clarity makes all the other decisions easy.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Who do you invite? Experienced parents, mainly. What's the tone? Comforting, supportive, maybe a bit funny. What do you do? Probably share stories, offer advice, not play silly games that might stress her out. See how the purpose drives everything.
That's powerful. Okay, so purpose first. Then chapter two challenges something huge, this modern obsession we have with being inclusive all the time. She calls for generous exclusion. Sounds tricky.
See, it does sound harsh, doesn't it? But her point is that purposeful exclusion can actually be a form of generosity. It's not about being snobby or elitist.
So what is it about then?
It's about excluding people whose presence, however well-intentioned, would actually detract from achieving the specific purpose of this particular gathering.
Hmm. Okay, I can see that in theory. But how do you do that without offending people, especially at work, where everyone expects to be in every meeting?
Parker argues quite strongly that including people who don't align with the purpose, maybe just out of politeness or obligation, actually ends up diluting the experience for everyone who is supposed to be there. It wastes their time and energy.
So the host's job is to protect the group's focus.
Yes, to protect the integrity of the group and the purpose. She says curating the guest list thoughtfully is maybe the highest form of generous authority you exercise, even before the event starts.
Which brings us neatly to chapter three, generous authority versus being that chill host. We all kind of idealize the host who just lets things flow, right?
That's the myth Parker wants to bust. The idea that being laid back and just letting things happen organically is somehow better or more welcoming. She actually calls that an abdication of responsibility and even selfish.
Selfish? Wow, that's strong. Why selfish? Don't we want guests to feel relaxed and comfortable?
Of course. But real relaxation comes from feeling secure, knowing what's expected, understanding the implicit rules of the space. When a host is too chill, they actually burden the guests.
How so?
The guests are left navigating uncertainty, awkward silences, maybe competing agendas. A host who practices generous authority uses their power consciously and ethically. They protect the guests, they equalize participation, they connect people back to the shared purpose. That often requires active facilitation, clear guidance, and, yeah, sometimes stepping in to redirect things.
Okay, so you're not a dictator, but you are the confident creator and guardian of the rules for this temporary little world you've built.
That's a good way to put it.
And Parker highlights two moments where this authority is especially critical. The very beginning and the very end. The opening and closing.
Yes, chapters 5 and 9 focus heavily on this. For the opening, she insists, never ever start with logistics. You know, hi everyone, the bathrooms are down the hall. Wi-Fi is on the fridge.
DLT is charged.
We all do it. But she says that wastes the most crucial moment, the transition. A powerful opening needs to consciously usher people across the threshold, move them mentally and emotionally from their busy outside world into the focused, temporary world of this gathering.
How do you do that?
It could be a thoughtful welcome, a shared simple ritual, maybe a provocative question related to the purpose, something that signals you are here now, pay attention differently.
And the closing is equally vital, she says, because so many gatherings just kind of peter out.
Oh, completely. We've all been there, right? The meeting ends, people shuffle out awkwardly, or the party just fizzles. All that connection or progress potentially made just evaporates.
Yeah, I remember a team retreat once. We did all this amazing work, really connected, and then the closing was literally just, okay, thanks everyone, see you Monday. It felt like such a deflation.
Exactly. Parker argues a strong closing is essential. It helps people reflect on what happened, what they experienced or achieved. It cements the connections made. And crucially, it helps them transition back out, maybe with clear next steps or a way to carry the experience forward. It needs to look back and turn forward.
Makes sense. Okay, one more key chapter concept before we broaden out. Chapter 7, cause good controversy. This sounds risky too.
Well, she argues that truly successful, meaningful gatherings aren't always comfortable. There's a difference between destructive conflict and what she calls heat.
Heat.
Yeah, like productive tension, the kind that comes from bringing diverse perspectives together. That heat is often where real innovation, insight, and growth happens.
So the host's job isn't to smooth everything over and avoid disagreement at all costs.
Not at all. The host's job is to design structures. She talks about using specific pop-up rules for certain conversations that can safely contain that good controversy to make sure that disagreement serves the purpose rather than derailing it.
Can you give an example of that? The corporate merger one, maybe?
Oh, yeah. That's a fascinating case study. These two companies were merging, lots of tension. Instead of an off-site focus purely on integration, Parker designed it around a really challenging question. How would we break up if this merger fails?
Wow. That sounds intense.
Extremely. But forcing them to confront their potential conflicts and worst fears head on actually built the trust and understanding they needed to make the merger succeed. It channeled the controversy productively.
That takes real courage from the host. Okay, so those are some deep dives into specific chapters. Let's try and pull out maybe three core themes or messages that run through the whole book.
Okay, I think the first big one is this idea we touched on. Gatherings as temporary alternative worlds.
Right. The idea that for just a little while, the host gets to create this mini society.
Exactly. With its own values, its own rules.
Mm-hmm.
It allows people to step outside their usual roles. Hierarchies might flatten, and they can interact perhaps more authentically, more vulnerably, or maybe just differently than they do day to day. Makes you think, how does the atmosphere of an event change your own behavior?
That's a great question. Okay, theme two.
How about meaningful exclusivity as a virtue?
Ah, yes. The generous exclusion idea. It really challenges that default impulse to just invite everyone.
It does. It forces us to be brave enough to say no sometimes in order to protect the purpose and the experience for those who genuinely need to be there. Think about, like you said, that committee meeting that gets totally bogged down because there are too many people with only a peripheral interest.
Guilty again. Okay, and a third theme.
I'd say moving beyond etiquette to rules. Parker argues that a lot of traditional etiquette is kind of hollow, just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
She encourages replacing that vague stuff with explicit, context-specific pop-up rules designed for this gathering's purpose. So instead of just hoping people mingle, maybe your rule is, introduce yourself to three people you don't know and ask them this specific question. Or at a dinner party, maybe the rule is, no work talk allowed tonight.
Right. So it makes the implicit explicit, which actually makes it easier for guests. Which inherited etiquette rules are maybe hurting your gatherings without you realizing it. That's a good reflection point.
Definitely.
Parker also has such a way with words. The book is full of really memorable lines that capture her philosophy. Maybe we can share a few key quotes.
Absolutely. The most fundamental one, I think, is a category is not a purpose.
That's the starting point for everything, isn't it? Stop labeling. Start defining the real intention.
Exactly. And then there's the one about focus. When we gather, we often make the mistake of trying to make it about the thing, and we forget that the real thing is the people.
Oh, I like that. Designed for human interaction first, not just the aesthetics or the agenda items.
Yeah. Then there's the one that elevates the whole concept. A gathering is a temporary alternative world. The best ones transport us.
That frames hosting as this really creative, almost world-building act. It gives it so much more weight.
It does. And finally, the one that directly challenges our assumptions. A chill host is a selfish host.
Oof. That one hits hard. It really forces you to rethink what it means to be welcoming and responsible as a host.
Definitely a wake-up call.
Okay, so we've got the theory, the big ideas. How does this translate into real life? Let's talk practical applications. Maybe start with the professional world. Meetings dominate so much of our time there.
Right. So take a typical quarterly planning meeting. The category is Q3 planning. Parker would say, get specific. What's the disputable purpose? Maybe it's to decide on the top three riskiest but highest reward initiatives for Q3 and rigorously kill all other proposals.
Whoa, okay, that immediately changes things.
Doesn't it? It sharpens the focus instantly. It tells you who needs to be in that room, only the decision makers. And it defines a clear outcome. That clarity, that focus, is an act of generous authority. It respects everyone's time.
Okay, that makes sense for work. What about personal or social gatherings, like that family reunion example?
Same principle. Instead of just, let's get the family together, which is vague, define a purpose. Maybe it's to create a living archive of our family's history by recording stories from the elders before they're lost.
Ah, so that gives the gathering a focus, an activity, a reason beyond just showing up out of obligation. It becomes a shared project.
Exactly. It transforms the feeling and the outcome. And Parker mentions community examples, too, like the I Am Here dinners. These were, I believe, sort of secret dinner parties where the explicit purpose was to help people talk openly and honestly about death.
Wow.
Yeah. A potentially difficult topic, but because the purpose was so clear, so courageous, it created this incredibly unique space for connection and vulnerability that just wouldn't happen at a normal dinner party.
It really shows how a clear, maybe even challenging purpose can unlock something powerful. This has been, yeah, really eye-opening. My own big takeaway is just how profoundly intentionality changes everything about connection. Gathering isn't just something that happens, it's a craft. And it requires, as you said, courage to define a purpose, to exclude generously, to exercise authority, and also real care to make it work.
Yeah, I agree. And what really struck me, maybe surprised me a little, was the embrace of discomfort. The idea that heat or good controversy isn't something to be stamped out, but something the host needs to skillfully structure and hold. That's where the real breakthroughs can happen. It reframes the host role significantly.
Definitely. And Parker's ultimate argument is pretty bold. Learning to gather people well, skillfully, intentionally, might be one of the most critical leadership capabilities we can develop today in any field.
It's a powerful claim. So maybe a final thought or challenge for everyone listening. Parker really pushes us to be agents of change in our own gatherings. So maybe identify just one recurring gathering in your life. Could be that weekly team check-in, maybe a monthly book club or friends night. And this week, try to give it a specific, unique, and disputable purpose.
Just try it for one meeting.
Just one. Define the why clearly, maybe even communicate it beforehand. And just see. See how that simple act of defining the purpose changes the conversation, the energy, the outcome. It might surprise you.
A fantastic challenge. Thank you so much for unpacking all of that.
My pleasure. It's such an important book.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.